It's so good, so good to be here and to get to share on adoption and fostering and have that be the theme of a whole Sunday. The story goes, we were planning this 2 years ago. We'd sort of thought about it and we're looking forward to doing it. I think it was going to be done maybe in mid-October. But 2 weeks before we'd actually planned to do this Adoption Fostering Sunday and talk through and think through these things together, we had the special arrival of Sean. We got to adopt him 2 weeks before that. So it's just amazing to see God's sense of humour in that, just to go, at the time, Samara and me were waiting and ready and getting prepared and keen to share in that journey. And God said, I've got something different planned for you as well. And it looks completely different from what you imagine. And then even between then and now, to think back what's God's done in the last 2 years in adoption and fostering in this community around us is massive. And so it's a great joy to share in that today. And I just want to spend a few minutes talking through some theology around adoption and just look at how it's actually part of our identity and what the mission of adoption and fostering looks like. And then we're going to get to hear some stories and answers to some questions from a whole bunch of other people as well. So I think we can look at adoption, and when I say adoption today, I guess we can expand it out most times to adoption and fostering. But as adoption, we can look at it in two ways. Adoption as gospel and adoption as mission. And we can't really separate them too easily. When we talk about one, we'll end up talking about the other. So firstly, adoption as gospel. Adoption tells us who we are as children of the Father. We just read in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7, it brings it to life. We are adopted as children of God the Father. We were slaves. We weren't in that relationship. We were out of that. But he's actually brought us in and calls us his children. We're sons and daughters of God the Father. We get to cry out to him, Daddy, Abba, Father. We get that personal, intimate relationship with the God of all creation. That's what God sent Jesus to the cross for, so that that could be possible. Isn't that incredible, amazing love and grace shown by God? In John, verse 18 of chapter 14, it says, No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. God doesn't leave us as slaves and as orphans. He brings us into sonship. So our whole lives are wrapped up in the gospel of adoption. Adoption as gospel tells us our identity. It tells us our inheritance. And it tells us our mission as sons and daughters of God. And I think at Barney's, it's been one of our focus identities. We love talking about being family, servants, and missionaries. So as we look and talk about being family, that's because we're children of God and we're brothers and sisters in Christ together. So the adoption as gospel actually shapes who we are, how we see our relationships with one another, and how we see our relationship with God. There's a song by a band called Ghost Ship, and the song's aptly titled Adoption. And I just want to, we might get the words up on the screen. I'm just going to read these out. We are the cold and starving. We are the scared and trembling. We are the desperately lost. We are the lone and the hopeless. We are the outcast orphans. We are the ones no one wants. But a Father is coming for us. You adopted us in and you made us your own. You adopted us in and you gave us a home. I just thought that sums up really well how God loves us as his children and adopts us in. So when we look at adoption as gospel and we peer into that truth, we can't help but fall into the truth of adoption as mission. Because adoption actually tells us our purpose as people of Christ. When we believe Jesus in the heavenly things, that Jesus has died for us, so we are adopted through him to be sons and daughters of God, we also follow Jesus in the earthly things. the adoption and fostering of children. You see, missional adoption spurs us to join Christ in advocating for the helpless and the abandoned, for the people that need love. Adoption and fostering is not just an act of charity or a good deed, and it's not just something we're using to describe the theological connection between God and us. So it's not just a metaphor. It's actually gospel and mission is all tied up together. It's who we are, it's what we do, it's how we live. When we look at Jesus' life, we know he was for the helpless. He was for the people who needed love. And I think it's obvious that God says to us to be families of love. And how much love do we have? Well, God's given us so much love that we're overflowing with love. And God just doesn't want us to overflow and let that love fall on the floor. He wants that love to naturally be extended to those who need it. All over the world, there are boys and girls who need that love. All over Adelaide, our city, there are boys and girls who need that love. So Jesus calls us to be families in his Father's image, overflowing with love. Specifically in Psalms, Jesus tells us his Father is the Father of the fatherless. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is the one who insists on calling the least of these his brothers. And in James it says, true and pure religion is the calling to look after orphans and widows in their distress. So it's clear that the adoption as gospel flows out into adoption as mission. It shapes who we are and what we do as people of God. But does that mean we're all called to adopt and foster? Who's it for? Well, no, and we're not all called to go to a specific country, and we're not all called to do the exact same thing, are we? We're the body of Christ. We work together as a team. We all have different gifts and abilities. We all have different lives and plans that God has for us. But all of us do have a stake in the adoption issue, because Jesus does. There's a great book that's really shaped a lot of what I'm talking about this morning and is great. It's called Adopted for Life. It's by a guy called Russell D. Moore, who's adopted two children. I think he's from America as well. This book is fantastic. I do recommend you read it. And I just want to paraphrase a short section of it, which actually talks about who adoption and fostering is for. It says, adoption and fostering is not just about couples who want kids or who want more kids. Adoption is about an entire culture within our churches, a culture that sees adoption and fostering as part of the Great Commission mandate and as a sign of the gospel itself. I'll read that again. As part of the Great Commission mandate and as a sign of the gospel itself. So all of us, as a church community, as a people of God, have a stake in this issue of adoption and fostering, because Jesus does. There's another chapter in this book. It's called It Takes a Village to Adopt. And I think we've seen that demonstrated already, as I've said in the last 2 years here, as a church family and community at Barney's. We've seen that it's not... we've seen so many people help and get involved and support one another in the adoption and fostering that has happened here. And it's been exciting to see that, working together for that mission. So we want to continue to be a church who takes the call to foster and adopt seriously. So maybe that means adoption, maybe that means fostering, but maybe it means supporting. Maybe it means thinking through what adoption and fostering looks like. Maybe it means just learning about it and listening and working out how we can support one another in that. Please do, as we listen to the stories we're going to hear today, think of questions you might want to ask people and talk to them over lunch as well. Do read this book as well. You're welcome to borrow it from me. I think Ben has a copy too. It really helps unpack the gospel and mission of adoption more. And for all of us today, I hope that as we walk away, that when we think of this, it changes a little bit in the way that when we cry out Father to God, what that looks like, and when we call one another brothers and sisters, what that actually means. We are family, and adoption as gospel and adoption as mission demonstrates that. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to hear some other stories. Father God, thank you that we can cry out to you as Father. Thank you that you have brought us into your family, that you've adopted us as your children. Give us your great inheritance. Thank you that you've done this through Jesus. Father, I pray that as we receive your love in abundance and that it overflows from us, Father, that we can be directed to love the people who need it, to love the children throughout the world, throughout Adelaide, who need your love, to be families who extend that love to them through adoption and fostering, who extend that love through supporting those who are doing that. Father, thank you that you do give us love each day. Your love is the thing that fuels us, and your love is the thing that we need. You are great. You are amazing. Amen.
Thanks so much, Joel. That was great. As Joel said, we're going to hear now from some people who have first-hand experience of adopting or fostering. We're going to hear from Samara, who is married to Joel, a bit about their experience, and then Corinne and I are going to share. Grant and Beck are going to share a bit, and then Chris and Kirsty Nielsen, who are some friends who were coming to the baptism anyway, and so we've asked them to share something of their experience too. I've given each person a question to kind of guide what they share in 3 or 5 minutes. So the questions will come up, and they'll kind of speak to that, and hopefully what they share is really useful for you. So Samara, thank you. I'll get you up first. Shorter than Joel.
Just a bit. Yes, I'm married. I'm Samara. I'm married to Joel, and we have we adopted 2 sons. So Sean, who's a bit over 2.5, and Blake, who's 15 months. We're coming up to 1 year. No, he's 17 months. We're coming up to 1 year with him. I've written mine down so I don't waffle. I'm answering. Did you only adopt because you couldn't have biological children? When thinking about why people adopt, I think the widely held view is that if you adopt, you can't have biological children of your own. That in a way, adoption is the second best option to biological children. I have heard many a time the classic line of, if you can't have biological children, you can just adopt. While this may be true for some people, it is definitely not for us. In fact, adoption was our first choice and biological children were our second. The first time I personally ever considered adoption was back when I was in primary school. I'd been exposed to adoption through 2 classmates who were adopted, my adopted auntie and fostered cousin, our rescue dog, which for a child feels just like another human, and my extensive reading of Anne of Green Gables, where the main character is adopted. If you read it, they speak about adoption awfully, but it was a lovely book. For me, adoption was a fairly normal and seemingly common thing. Back then, my best friend and I used to say we were going to adopt when we were older. However, I think that's because we were just trying to avoid the pain of childbirth. As I headed into my teen years, the idea began to develop in my head as an altruistic gesture. It was around my mid to late teens, the idea began to develop It was around my mid to late teens that through my work with young people at church and teacher training, I began to realise that I was capable of loving children as my own, regardless of biology. By the time I reached my late teens, I knew adoption was something I not only wanted to do, but more importantly, felt like God was calling me to do. It's always hard to know whether God is calling you to something, but I had a deep conviction that my whole life had been pointing towards adoption, and that God had placed a desire to adopt on my heart and given me a lack of yearning for a biological child for a reason. As my relationship with Joel started to get pretty serious, I flagged this with Joel, which for him was the first time he had considered adoption. We were married in 2010, and after a few years started to discuss our future family. By this stage, God had worked in Joel's heart, and we now had a shared desire and conviction to adopt. I was keen to skip biological children altogether. However, Joel wisely suggested that given the chances of us adopting an older child were high, having at least one biological child to ease us into parenthood and allow us to grow as parents by raising a child from birth would best prepare us for the journey of adoption. As many of you would know, this plan did not work as we were unable to conceive a biological child. So there we were, back at plan A, to just go straight into adoption. Feeling a little bit nervous at our lack of experience parenting and how this could all play out. As you'd all now know, God's plan all along was to bless us with two young boys through adoption, and that despite our concerns about lack of parenting experience, we seemed to be muddling our way through okay. So as you can see, adoption was never our second best option. As we raise our adopted children, nothing about it feels second best either. We did not adopt them in the hope that they could fill the void of a biological child, but rather because right from the start, we felt we had something to offer them that they needed, which is a stable, loving family who could love them wholeheartedly, like every child deserves. They are not lucky to have us as their parents, nor do they owe us anything. It is our joy and delight to be their parents, and never is there ever, ever a moment where we wish things had turned out differently. As we live out life as an adopted family, there are great joys and sorrows. We rejoice in the gift of their life and their birth mothers in particular for bringing them into this world. We are thankful that they were loved so dearly by their foster families and that we now get to be the ones to love them. We grieve the losses that they have experienced in such a short space of time. As much as we love being their families, we are sad as being their parents. We are sad that they were unable to be raised by their biological families and feel the impact of their broken attachments when they were removed from their foster families and came to live with us. We hope that one day they will have a healthy relationship with their biological families, given that most adoptions and foster placements now seek to maintain open and ongoing communications with birth families. And truthfully, we are sometimes fearful about how they will process the realities of their lives as they grow and develop, and ultimately have to trust and pray that they will know the reality of God's never-failing love for them in this broken world. They will no doubt struggle with the many questions surrounding their identity, and the best thing we have to offer them is to point them to the truths of being first and foremost a child of God the Father. Adoption and fostering is not a second best option, and there is nothing second best about my sons or any other fostered or adopted children I have met. As others will no doubt share, it does come with its complexities and challenges, and shouldn't be entered into simply to fill a void in your life or because it will make you feel good or glorify you. That said and done, there is a great joy in opening your hearts and homes to God's children and joining in Jesus' mission, and I hope that our family is a testament to this.
So Jacob has been in our family since he was one day old. Initially, he came in as an emergency care order, which was just for a few weeks, and then he got extended to 12-month order, and a month ago today, he was given a long-term order, which means he'll be with us for the rest of his life. There were a number of questions that we needed to think through and pray through before we committed to fostering. For a number of years, we had thought about adoption and really felt that that was the superior option to fostering. But the reality is that international adoption is very expensive, and local adoption in South Australia is very rare. So it's amazing to have Samara and Joel in the congregation. There's just been two per year for the last 2 years here in South Australia. And we have two here, and it's Barney's. It took me particularly a while to move from a heart place of doing it for us, because we wanted more children, to doing it for the kids. And then realizing that for most of the kids in South Australia, foster care is the only option. And it's not their fault that adoption is so rare. They need to be fostered, and that's something we could do. Actually, as we've realized, the day-to-day reality of adoption and fostering is the same, especially long-term. Another little one in your family who you love and care for and do all you can to meet their needs.
Just to let you know kind of what the needs are in South Australia, In June this year, there were 3,300 kids in the foster care system in South Australia. That number has almost doubled over the last 10 years. The number of kids in care is increasing. Most of those 3,300 have foster parents. They're in families, but 11% of them are not. So about 360 kids are in residential care homes where they're looked after by government workers on a roster system. And that's the real need at the moment, to have more foster parents, more foster carers who can look after those kids in residential care. Another question, barrier kind of that we had to work through was, what would be the effect on our existing family if we fostered a child? We didn't want it to be just a decision that Corinne and I made, but one that the girls were involved with and happy with too. In talking to our girls about the possibilities, we remember one conversation where Darcy expressed some anxiety about things changing because she said, our family's awesome and we don't want things to change. But we then asked the girls, you know, what sort of family do these kids need? And of course, we want them to go to families that are awesome, families that are stable and loving, where they'll be cared for well. It was really good to talk through with the girls that the changes that would be required and some of the impact that might come on them. And it's been important for us to be deliberate about making sure we continue to have time with them doing the things they enjoy. But the reality is the vast majority of the changes in having Jacob in our family have been a blessing for all of us. The girls absolutely adore him, and the reservations that we had are long gone, at least for now. Another fear that we had in considering fostering was whether we would be able to love a foster child in the same way as our biological children. And talking to others, I know that's a fear many people have. We prayed that we would be able to. We trusted that God would give us a deep bond with whatever child he brought into our family. And those prayers have been definitively answered. It's remarkable, really. I remember on the very first day that Jacob was with us that evening saying to Corin, I think I love him. I just feel this bond with him. I want to be his dad. I feel like his dad even from day one. And despite the uncertainty that we've had over the last 15 months, there's been this sense in which we've just loved him as our own right from the start.
Another question we had was whether we could handle the uncertainty and potential pain of giving them up. I've heard a lot of people say this: I could never foster like you. I couldn't bear the potential pain of having to give them up. I want to say two things to that. Firstly, that is incredibly hard, and there's nothing superhuman about foster parents that they don't find that hard. Foster care is a joy, but there are many things that are hard, and there have been many times in the last 15 months when it looked like Jacob might leave. And even as those times have lessened and it looked more likely he would stay long term, we still didn't have that certainty. And it's been so important and helpful to remember that we could be a positive blessing in Jacob's life for however long God allowed him to stay with us, even if it was just a couple of weeks. But it would be untrue to say that hasn't been hard. However, I want to also say, secondly, someone has to bear that pain. Either adults have to endure uncertainty and potential heartache, or the children have to endure abandonment and rejection. If we say we are unwilling to risk our emotional stability, then we are saying the kids have to live with emotional instability instead. One foster mum we know answered this question by saying, I believe that children deserve to be loved by people who are willing to have their hearts broken if they leave. That's been our aim, to pour ourselves out in loving little Jacob and trusting that if he had left us, then God would have given us the comfort we needed at the time. Thanks.
Good morning. I'll just move this. Yeah, I just want to share Beck and my story just with regards to fostering and that journey that has taken place for us pretty much since 2010. I will try to address that, just probably with the bizarre happening yesterday. I may not have gone into detail with that, but I'm going to talk about the journey of where we are at right now and where we started in 2010 very quickly. We started with an organisation in Adelaide called Time for Kids. So Time for Kids is an agency or an organisation, not-for-profit, that help with respite for parents that are doing it tough and need some assistance to have a break. Beck and I had just come back from Darwin from working up there for a couple of years, and we said, even before we left, we thought, let's do this, and then all of a sudden a job opportunity came up and it didn't happen. But we're like, let's do this, and then 2010, Jody came to live with us as a seven-year-old. Very exciting for us. Once a month, she would come. She was living with her grandma and her brother at the time, and she would come and stay with us and hang out. We had three children at the time, and it worked beautifully. Holly, my eldest, was also seven, and we'd hang out, do different activities, and life was good. Beck and I would lie in bed at night, and for those of you that don't know us, we're pretty laid-back individuals. Life is easygoing to some degree for us. And we'd lie there in bed and go, I wonder what happens when Grandma's not around anymore. And the interesting thing is that Grandma wasn't around as of 18 months ago. It got pretty tough. Jody has mild autism. Our brother has high autism. And for a grandma, I'm trying to think of her situation. You're a grandma. You don't need to be looking after two high-intensity kids full-time. That's a big ask. So there were two realities for Jody in her life at that time, and that was going to school with her friends and then coming to us once a month, because that had happened for 7 years. So then we had that opportunity to go, oh, I wonder what happens when Grandma's not here. What do we do? So fast forward. So for us, just to give you just a snapshot before I get into the fast forward, it was always about respite. We wanted to help Grandma, and that's what I really want to stress today. It's respite, and a number of you have already touched on this in the discussion. The respite process and the supporting is vital in how Beck and I see it. I'm not standing here saying it is an easy journey. I'll actually stand here and say it's really hard, but we've found it really difficult, and we are laid back people. Okay, so Grandma wasn't able to look after Jody. The government and the local government do not want kids in commercial care. So a lot of kids will just sit in commercial care until something comes up. As Ben said, the numbers are huge in South Australia alone. And so the opportunity we have is to either foster, to do respite, to adopt, etc. Now, we know adoption's not hugely accessible, but it does happen. We've got proof of that. It's amazing. So the respite situation is really a key element to this process. Jody has come to live with us full time. We made that decision, and that's kind of the whole answer to this question. How has God enabled us to serve Jody in this situation? Well, I'm not a super spook or a spiritual kind of dude. I understand that the Bible is the truth, and there's different aspects of it, how that outworks in our lives. However, the Spirit leads. So he's led us to this point. The assistants, Jody came in January, just to give you an understanding. You know, we're all called in some level, you know, to be his light in this world. This is a hard way to do it. It isn't easy. but it's something that we know is the right thing. And he enables us. That is the part. And the whole village to raise a child is so vital. So this community, our family, our friends have really assisted us, hugely assisted us in the past 8 months, 9 months, coming up 10 months, I think it is. What I'll leave you with, and for us, it really is, time for kids was really important. It gave us a stepping stone to, firstly, just care for someone. Like, we've got four kids. We had three at the time. We then had another one, so we had five. But to care for somebody is really important. Like, don't take that for granted. Don't take that lightly, that to actually just care for kids, even if you've got no kids, or one kid, or five kids, or six kids, it's nice to care for them. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. Can you do it? Yeah, you can do it. And in God's strength, we do it. And for those that don't have a faith or a following, there's amazing people out there doing this anyway, and they've got no faith, no whatever. And so I take that as, that is awesome, because there's people doing that anyway, and we as a community can support everyone, just not people in this building, because this is only one portion of our life. Our life needs to be outworked day to day, week to week, month by month. So check out something like Time for Kids. Have a chat to Life Without Barriers. So they're now our foster care agency. Life Without Barriers are amazing. They actually assist people that want to help give respite then to foster families. So for parents that need a break, and yeah, we need a break from time to time, and already there's people here that are doing amazing things to help us in that space. But if you wish to do it at another level, just check out some websites, Life Without Barriers, Time for Kids. They're great organisations, and there's many more. As we've said, happy to chat afterwards in relation to any questions you might have. Thanks.
Just adjust that a bit. Good morning. My name's Chris. This is Kirsty, and we have four children of our own, the eldest of which is now married and been married nearly 2 years, and the youngest of which is pushing 17. So we should be at that stage in our life where things should be getting easier, the kids should be leaving home, you know, we should be taking it easy. But then back in 2012, we became foster parents. So this is the question that has been posed to us today. And as I look at that question, I'm tempted to say, no way, and then run a mile. But what we've discovered in life is you decide to go ahead with things, you make plans. But along the way, what we've discovered is that our plans don't always seem to be God's plans. We decide what we're going to do, we plan things, we plan a course of action, we plan what works best for us, we plan what we can cope with, and then all of a sudden God's plans seem to be different. So let's have a look at what the Bible says about that.
Reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So our plan was to foster one high needs child long term with a high needs agency.
And so that happened. She came and she moved in with us and she bought all her stuff. And then 12 days later, she had to move out. So our plan didn't work.
Our plan, after waiting for another placement for over a year, we decided to move to a lower needs agency. We could possibly stretch to two lower needs children, and we took on a placement of two sisters.
But God's plan was to stretch us and grow us beyond anything that we could comprehend. We had 3.5 years of very complex, high-needs girls. We had lots of struggles for everybody in the family, because at the time, all our four children were still living at home.
Our plan was to commit to these two forever.
Well, one of those children left us in the beginning, in the middle of this year. It became quite clear that we had helped her as much as we possibly could, and that it was God's plan that she go and live with somebody else.
Our plan, firstly, not to do emergency care or babies.
Well, God had a different idea. Because God realised that what our foster girl needed was to see younger children being nurtured. And so if we take on babies, there's a nurturing process that has to happen there. And they can see that happen and they can learn from that.
So our plan, okay, God, but just babies under 6 months old, no moving babies, no solid eating babies.
Well, if you've seen the little girl that we've got with us today, she's 16 months old. So something has gone a little wrong there. We weren't meant to have them beyond 6 months. But God says, well, that's okay, I've got a plan, and what you need to do now is trust me.
So our plan is now to stop making plans, fully trusting and submitting to God to be open and obedient to his plans. Will it be tough? Yes. Will it stretch us? Yes. Will it be easy? No.
But in closing, let's go back to this original question. Would we have gone ahead with it? And I think to answer this question, what we really need to do is look to Jesus. Would he be prepared to be born again in a stable? Would he be prepared to go to the cross again, knowing how painful it was? Would he be prepared to be beaten and scourged and dragged through the streets bleeding? Would he be prepared to die a horrible death all over again to save those sinners he loved? And I think if you asked him this question, he would say yes. He didn't enjoy that. In fact, it really, really hurt. And he even asked God if he could get out of it. But not as I will, but as you will, he finally said. Well, our attitude has been the same. Our life is not our own. It belongs to the Lord. And if this is God's plan, then this is what we shall do. So yes, we would be foster parents all over again, because it's what God wanted. Thank you.
I don't know about you, I'm just really moved and excited by what we've heard. Isn't that great? Just hearing people's stories. Thanks everyone for sharing from your hearts, for sharing about the realities, the joys, the challenges, the motivation that makes you do what you do. And it's great, wasn't it, just to hear the ways in which so many people are involved in this, and how each one of us can be involved in supporting and helping in this work of caring for the most vulnerable of children. We're going to leave it there, but as a number of people have said, do grab those guys and ask the questions that have been sparked as they've shared, and find out more, and look into ways in which you can be involved in this as well. That'll be a great thing to do.